Good evening and welcome to the extraordinary council meeting of the Burnham on Crouch Town Council, Tuesday 21st February 2023. Sound recording of the meeting. Please note that the council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the council's website. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speaking are deemed to be giving permission to be included in the recording. May we have apologies for absence?
No apologies.
Thank you. Declarations of interest. All town councils have completed their statutory declarations of interest in accordance with the Localism Act 2011 and the Code of Conduct of Members adopted by the Town Council. Item 3, co-options. To review applications received for casual vacancies and pass resolution as necessary. We have one application to be co-opted. Mrs. Calvin, would you like to join us at the table? Take one of the seats.
Can I raise a point of order?
I'm not sure you can raise a point
of
order from the floor.
Well, I think you can make a mistake, but it's easier if you actually listen to what I've got to say first.
I will certainly listen to any helpful advice you have, Mrs. Stone.
It is, thank you. Just for you to be cautious, last week's meeting, you actually, one of the resolutions was on co-options, that this council was not going to co-opt between now and then. And if you play the recording back, you said it, sitting in your chair.
That's true, but we are in total charge of the co-option procedure, as you will see if you read the co-option process.
I've read it, but that was a resolution of you. You said it, so that's...
I think we're going to proceed. I think, whether that was a resolution or simply a comment. Thank you, Mrs. Stamp. Most helpful. Mrs. Calver, would you like to... We have some questions, Mrs. Calver. Yes, please.
Can you tell us what you know with regards to the town council and what the general running of the town council is?
I know what it was like because I joined the town council in 1997 and worked as town clerk 2002. It wasn't as bureaucratic as it is now. It was a much more free and easy operation. It managed to achieve an awful lot. It was a very proactive council. I've walked every street in Burnham. That's before they started building new ones. So that I knew what people were talking about when they came in through the front door. You asked me a question about Burnham and I'll do my best to answer it because I've been involved with the council, or not since, because since my husband's been on the council for the last 8 years, I've always retained an interest, and that interest has been maintained right throughout, so I'm pretty well up to date with what's happening in the town. Yes?
Could you offer us some insight into what you can bring to Burnham Town Council as a councillor for South Ward?
Well, I think the best thing I can do is to stop something rather than bring something, and that's to stop Burnham Town Council fully falling under the control of Morden District Council by not having enough councillors or people prepared to stand as council. So to help keep this council poured so that it can still operate is the reason I'm here.
Thank you. And again, well, a similar question is why you want to join, but I think you covered that question with your response just then. If there's anything else, any other reasons why you would like to join council?
I'm just nosy, I like to know what's going on.
Can we take a vote on whether we might accept Mrs. Calvert?
We have a recorded vote.
Yeah, we have a recorded vote if you wish.
Okay.
All those in favour of co-opting Mrs. Calvert? Three. Against?
I'll abstain.
Abstain. Thank you. Accordingly, if you would like to sign the declaration of the appropriate paperwork, you'll become a member of the council.
That's why it's been for me.
Thanks. Right, public participation session with respect to items on the agenda. To receive questions from the public and press and to respond accordingly, wherever practicable, failing which an answer will be communicated to the questioner as soon as possible following the meeting. So if we move around the room, do you have any questions?
The accounts, is it £45,000 in the bank?
In our earmarked reserves.
Pardon?
In our earmarked reserves account. Earmarked reserves are what we have put by for special projects or funding. That's what we have in our earmarked reserves account.
And what's the maximum councils allowed to keep as a reserve?
I don't think there is a maximum as such, but there is actually a guidance as to what we should keep as a minimum.
Ah, right.
Which I think is 6 months precept.
Is that
a fact, or are you just, is that the top
of your head? No, I'm just saying that I believe that we should keep...
I'll clarify that for you.
Yeah.
Are
you looking
at me?
Because I can't really see if you are.
Do you want my
hand? I've got the wrong
glasses on. Yes, I can. There's a notice, a signature up there, if you care to leave your name and number or an email,
Councillor Tull.
Certainly come back to you.
I was going to say that, definitely worth clarifying, because I think there is a maximum limit for what we can hold in accounts.
There's a certain maximum we hold in bank accounts for the protection which is afforded to us from the regulations regarding deposits.
Yeah.
But it's not actually the statutory maximum which the council can hold. It's like when you're private, I believe, it's like it's when your private account is protected to a certain level.
I'll clarify that.
Yeah.
It may be good practice not to keep more than that account then.
So, to follow on with that, so the reserve, is it on top of this 45,000? So it says here 45,280.47. Mm-hmm. So is the reserve on top of that?
That is our reserve. If you go through, you'll see the different bank accounts where we've got our current account, which is what we run our precept through and our day-to-day banking. That is a separate account that is just holding the earmarked reserves.
I think you'll find all the figures are included in that.
They are included in that,
yes.
So the information you apply should be in that handout.
Okay.
I can clarify the exact amounts for you.
Okay, fine. I'll just flip for it.
That's absolutely fine.
That's fine, thank you. It is public information. Madam.
It's regarding what's on marked as agenda number 3. Bearing in mind what the lady said, that she's been co-opted, is there a large consensus of opinion that people want to save money and move Burnhope to Morden? Are there any plans for that?
Answer that question. If we do not get enough people standing in the local council elections for election to Burnham Town Council, the fallback situation is that Morden District will put the district councillors in to run Burnham Town Council. That is what we would like to avoid, because Burnham needs an independent voice.
If I can just say, what will happen is those vacancies will remain open, and they will remain open as permanent vacancies until such time as we're able to go through and co-opt. So we need to be corporate, and in order for the council to run, we have to be corporate, so we have to have the minimum of 4 councillors in attendance at any one time, and if there are vacancies, they will remain open until such time as someone comes forward and we can co-opt.
Okay, what I need to bear in mind is that I have spoken to a few people that were on Burnham Town Council, and they came into it hoping that they could do good and be effective, but they were not listened to, and their opinions were shut down. In fact, they felt very thwarted for what they actually aimed to do. And these are professional people. I've taken their comments very seriously.
Can I ask when that was?
Sorry?
Can I ask what time period that was?
No, it would obviously
break the
confidence. There are changes ahead. We are for all intents and purposes a new team. I'm new in position as chief officer. I was only appointed in November. So for me, it's a new position. We are looking at potentially a new mayor in May and also a whole new suite of potentially 10 councillors. So there is an opportunity for change afoot. I myself am a Burnham resident, my children go to school here, they will be going to school here for the next 10 years. It's important to me to try and bring some sort of future and make Burnham Town Council back on the map, if you like, effectively, and for it to be the hub for people to come into. That's my vision as the chief officer. I'm obviously not in a position where I can take a vote on things or do anything of that kind, but I would like to think that there is change coming and that those situations and times pass. It's a democracy at the end of the day. It's a debate and it's an agreement. It's not a coercion or a force of one individual's opinion.
Can I just pick up on that? Decisions are taken by majority vote. If people don't like the majority vote, normally people sort of accept it. If they don't like it, they're welcome. They have in the past resigned. But decisions are taken by majority vote.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yes, please, I'd like to ask a question. Does the council and the mayor think it is acceptable that changes to financial payments or things that are supposed to be agreed at this council tonight is only put out 2 minutes before the meeting, when you actually have to look at the Good Councillor's Guide for Finance and Transparency, and it says quite clearly, publication of minutes, agendas and papers of formal meetings. Councils must publish the draft minutes for all formal meetings, i.e. full council committee and subcommittee meetings, not later than 1 month after the meeting has taken place. Even if the minutes have not been finalised, the draft minutes should be published. Council should also publish meetings agendas which are full and informative as possible, as associated papers, not later than 3 clear days before the meeting is taking place. Now, the question I've asked is, do you think it is fair and acceptable that any changes that you're going to vote on, which we cannot come back on and ask questions on, because public participation, again, has been removed from the end of the agenda, and that was removed in October. So that's my first question, because the council thinks that is fair, and I certainly don't think that is fair. And also, based on the information on the agenda, and going back to that, we can't question any councillors or any decisions or any debates you're going to have, do you think it's acceptable that you have an agenda item called financial pre-audit to receive an update from the Deputy Mayor? I'm not having a go at whoever's going to say whatever, so please don't anybody think I'm having a personal dig. I'm not digging personally at anybody. And street traders and things like that, community fridge, an update for the chief officer. What should say, it should be members discuss and agree, and you put information on there. Because how on earth can we ask a question if there's no information?
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Mrs. Stamp. We've made a note of your questions and will reply to them in writing.
Excuse me, I don't accept that. You're telling me you don't know those. You can't answer those questions now.
Receive questions from the public and press and to respond accordingly wherever practical.
Yeah, now I noticed you'd have checked amended it, but do you think that is an unreasonable question? Do you think that's an unreasonable question?
I think it's perfect.
If you don't mind, please. The original documentation for the meeting that was due to take place on the 21st of February, that meeting was cut short because we were made non-corporate. We have got the opportunity to add additional information into the finances and to the Chief Officer's report as we deem fit as necessary leading up to meeting. This is an extraordinary meeting, and as such we can publish the information as soon as practically possible, which is what we have done, and we will attach the rest of the information.
Okay, well I'd like to come back because it wasn't published. I found it when I actually looked at the things when these members of the public wanted to look at something. And I actually asked you, Mr. Mayor, and you were
I think Mrs. Stamp, you're making a comment. You're making a statement, not asking a question.
It was made available.
We will answer the question in writing in due course.
As an extraordinary meeting, we are able to publish the information as soon as practically possible. And that
so
was
you
this
didn't
evening.
Have that ready then?
That was this evening.
So you didn't have that ready until this evening?
It was ready on the 21st.
Can we stop the argument? We will answer the questions.
I'd like it answering because it's important, because I'm going to open the transparency.
Sorry?
We're over our time.
I think we're over our time for allocation questions.
Well, you can't make it hard or easy. I really don't mind.
Are you... Can I Ask what you mean by that.
Well, because I'd like to ask questions. I've tried to ask questions, but you're not allowing me to ask questions. And it's in the interest of open and transparency, Mr. Mayor.
I think we will move.
Please feel free to email me.
Who's actually speaking? The clerk or the mayor?
I will move on to the Chief Officer's Report, item 5.
Thank you. Just to receive some updates to the council. The pill box benches on the quayside finally repaired. Yes, they've been repaired, they've been varnished, the work's been complete, and they actually look really, really nice. So, very happy with that. Memorial benches, the harbour office bench has been also repaired and varnished, and the welding has also now been completed, so that is all back up to speed. As we know, there are multiple benches in and around Burnham which are custodians of those people who purchase them and individually look after them. It has been brought to my attention on several occasions that there are some further benches that do require some help. And are potentially unsafe within the areas. It's a can of worms really to ascertain who and if the people that are responsible for the installation of those benches are even still in Burnham or are able to maintain them. So I'd like to ask if we can get the town warden to take a look at all the benches and bring them to next meeting to discuss what we might do.
MVC should know some of them, but obviously quite a lot of them are historic.
Some of them are very old, historic, that we may not even have the custodians even with us still now today.
As I say, I suggest the town will go and inspect all of them. Just write a report for each one. I mean, even if some of them belong to MDC list, have got some report of, you know, what needs to be done to them.
I think the perception is, if you want to take a seat on a bench and it's broken or it's not looking its best, it's not nice for the town.
Obviously, at the same time, if you repair something that doesn't belong to you,
absolutely, you're then liable.
It's awkward, but now's the time to do it, because obviously tourist season's coming, it's going to get busy.
Absolutely, so I'll get a report on all the benches and then I'll bring it to them.
So the action we've agreed is that the town warden will report on the benches. Thank you.
IT equipment and website, speakers and webcams have been received, and that's all now complete. The website is still in the process of being overhauled and dragging into the 21st century. I have now received some information from the EALC in relation to the content that needs to be on the website, so I'll be going through that and looking at what we've got already and making sure that we're compliant in the sense of content that's required, and then looking at what we can do to bring the website into the 21st century, which makes it a go-to place for everybody. At the moment, I've added on the Contact Us page links to Essex Highways, Essex County Council, Morden District. So you can click on the link and it will take you to the report it page, and I'll be looking at reviewing that a little bit more so that it's clearer in terms of what Burnham, what Morden and what Essex County Council do. So that's ongoing and hopefully finished by the end of this month. And then following that, we'll do a review of whether we are compliant in terms of disability leading within the website and whether it's accessible to people who have got visual impairment and such like. I'm looking at the government website as a start of a 10 in terms of how they present their website, because I don't think there's any better out there in terms of compliance for disability. So we'll follow and marry that match. So that's ongoing at the moment, and hopefully 13th of March I'll be able to give you a shiny new website to look at. Chamber microphones. We have had some issues with the microphones that we have in the chambers. I have received now, or I've obtained, 3 different options for microphones. We would like to go with the more conference style microphone, which then just gives us an option to have 8 under one channel system. And they're movable microphones, and you can take them around. And
this is for the hearing loop for the council.
This is for the microphones and for us to when we hire up to Southeast Planning.
Right.
We have had issues with the microphones for some time. They're not holding their charge with batteries. Even though we've put new batteries in, they're not really feeding through on the sound. So it's really a requirement for us to upgrade and update those microphones.
So will you bring a proposal forward to the next meeting?
I'll bring a proposal forward.
Thank you.
Town maintenance, planting and landscaping and trees. The works outside the offices has been approved by the TPO and has now been carried out and complete. It's looking quite nice and spring-like out there, which is good news. The clock tower lights timer is finally resolved. The time has been changed. The clock light is now coming on seasonally. What we need to understand is that that's a manual timer, so it doesn't change automatically. So there is potential maybe later on to put an automatic one in, but as it stands at the moment, the town warden will alter and adjust that clock in accordance with the season.
Right, thank you.
Town signs. We have now the town signs. They've both now been delivered. We need to arrange with VCC the installation. However, we need to understand and ascertain where those signs are being situated. And that's something that I think requires a specific agenda item for us to discuss where those signs are going, so that I've got direction to give VCC in terms of installation.
Thank you.
I understand it's an issue.
Just explaining to the Deputy Mayor, he knows where the town signs go because he's got all the paperwork.
Okay. Perhaps we can have that conversation and put it as an agenda item so that I can get Essex County Council to bring the signs forward. Road markings. It was requested by Councillor Stamp at Essex County Council if there's any requirement for road markings within the town to be renewed. I believe there are some within the town that we need to look at. If council can give me their information on what they would like to see for remarking and relining, I can take that forward.
Does that cover
all the parking bays?
Does that cover zebra crossings?
Yes.
I'd like the zebra crossings repainted. They're all very, very faded.
That comes under parking bay. It's obviously the parking up that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any markings and things. There are hash areas and things that need to be recoloured in. W yellow lines that definitely need to be spruced up.
Again, I think if council agree, I can get the town warden to take some recent photographs.
Because
I think this has been ongoing for some time. So if we take some recent photographs, then I can get that submitted. Water fountain. The water fountain has been fixed outside the front. So again, I think this time of year it's quite nice. I have actually seen some families and some more people sitting outside there, and with the water fountain on, it does set a nice tone out there. And the children are coming up and looking at the fountain. And
can I ask, is the water just recirculated, or is it sort of a fresh supply to it, or?
I don't actually know the answer to that. I don't actually know, but I can find that out for you.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously people won't drink it.
It has got signage to make you aware that
it's... Yeah, so obviously it's a good spot if you don't need to drink. If you've got a water bottle with you, you can fill it up.
I believe it's
just circulated.
Recirculated, but I'll clarify that for you. Just in relation to the Dementia Garden, I'd like to bring to council the possibility of obtaining some quotations to repair and place the paving slabs and install some disabled access to the area.
What garden is that one?
Just that.
Oh, it is the one just here?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Would we support the clerk's request to get quotations for...
Especially for a ramp, because obviously it's not...
It's unaccessible at the moment.
Without bumping somebody up the steps, it's, I think it's definitely worth looking at.
Okay, so we resolve that we'll have.
I'd like to spend a little bit of time, if possible, please, in relation to defibrillators. We have, the council have always had a defibrillator outside the office here under our adoption. We have now adopted the one at the Rio Cinema also, because it was found that it wasn't being looked after. So the council have adopted the, we have the one out here and the one at the Rio Cinema. The warden carries out meeting checks on those to make sure that they are working and fit for purpose. We are logged on to what's called the circuit, where we can update and amend any information that we need to in relation to those and request any additional equipment that we might need, pads, batteries, etc. There has been an issue recently with residents not being able to open the defibrillators in an emergency. That is being looked at as a separate entity. One of the questions that has arisen from that is whether or not the council would like to adopt the defibrillators across town. The answer in short is no. I don't think we should. They have individual custodians. So the way the process works for a defibrillator is anybody can purchase one. I can get some funding to have one put outside my house where I live, and I can make myself the custodian of that defib. What that means then is I am responsible for maintaining it, managing it, checking it and inspecting it and keeping everything up to date. It's almost a long chain of command, and there isn't really any one person responsible for them. But there are custodians, and at the moment you can go onto the website and the website will tell you exactly which ones are available and which ones aren't and what their locations are. The circuit is a really good website for that, and it gives you the opportunity to know where they are. The only people that are able to give the codes out, even if you're a custodian, is the ambulance service. The ambulance service are the governance alongside the circuit for the defibs, and that's the process and the chain. So council are happy to have the locality of the one outside the office and the one at the Rio Cinema, but I think as a general rule, I think we should leave the defibs to those individuals. Some have been purchased privately, some have been purchased through funding, some belong to the co-op, some belong to McCall's, some belong to the Huttons. So I think that's generally how it should be, and if there are individual cases, they need to be taken up with the ambulance service.
Thank you.
So that's just an update on defibs, really, as to where we are. Events that are happening in town. Burnham in Bloom. We'd like to revive Burnham in Bloom this year. Taylor Wimpey, I've been in contact with, who have some funding that they're prepared to support us with in terms of posters, advertising, that sort of thing. So I'd like to continue that discussion with Taylor Wimpey.
Can you bring that back as an agenda item?
I can, yes. The community beak surgery. We had the first surgery today. I think some residents were in attendance. I believe it went well. It was nice to see. We had the community engagement team here. We also had three police officers here as well, and it was quite well attended by some residents. It really actually went quite well, first one. So I think everybody got some good feedback, and the CET team have taken some information away, looking to do some work and to come back with some info, and also I think the police have also taken some knowledge away, and it was good for them to spend time with the residents. They were here for about 2 hours, so that was nice, and I think that will be continuing on a monthly basis under Morden, who have requested that. So it's really good to see some presence back in the town of the local police and understanding what it is that the residents need in Burnham. So first one went really well.
Brilliant.
Chamber hire. We did have a request for Dengie Earth Matters to hire the chamber. Unfortunately, that was cancelled. So I'm awaiting another date from them. But we'll be open
Dengie
to.
Dengie what matters?
Dengie Earth Matters.
They're a local community group.
So we'll await a new date for them, and as it stands at the moment, there's no other bookings for the chambers at present. Legislation and updates, funding. The ELC have posted on their website is the funding sources which are available to assist the parish and the town and the community. These include heritage, lottery, sports, community and amenities. If anybody's got any ideas that they want to bring forward, there is funding available under those headings by the ALC, and we can look to tap into those as and when we need to. Please come see me. Excuse me. Waste and recycling, as an update for everybody, a booking system is being introduced for entry into the recycling plants. You would have seen it vocally advertised across all the social medias. I don't know whether people are 100% happy with it or not. There is a Q&A sheet that's been provided by the ECC, and should any residents have any questions, we can refer this receipt to the sheet. Sorry, and you can also collate any questions that you might come across to me, and then I can refer and back collate them should residents come to you with any specific questions in relation to that. Feel free to funnel them through to the Chief Officer and I can collate them and send them on. Levelling up, we've had the new buzzword at the moment, I think across the board is levelling up and trying to sort of bring everything together. On that basis, I was asked to engage with the representatives from the libraries to start looking at how we could support them in their schemes that they're running locally and within the town. So really just kind of sort of coming together. The libraries are an important and integral part of the town. They offer website services, internet access. They also offer warm drop-in days at the moment. So we've had an initial conversation about how the council can help promote. And what we're looking at the moment is joint marketing. So sharing their posters, making sure their posters are on our website, that they're on our notice boards. I'm waiting for some posters to come through to me that I can get put up on a weekly basis. Also, potentially, we could look to offer chamber facilities for the warm days where the libraries are closed. These are all discussions at the moment, nothing set in stone, but it's just how we can join up with the libraries, really, to assist what's going on. They're looking at carrying out some youth workshops in the summer, and they also have an apprenticeship scheme, which I didn't know about, that they work with young adults who are either in college or staying at school, and they help them to obtain apprenticeships. And I wasn't aware that the library did that, so it's really good stuff.
Would it be sensible to ask the library staff to come and make a presentation to the council?
Yes, I can do.
No,
I didn't know that. So if anybody has got any...
People on social media saying, oh, does anyone know about any apprenticeships going and all the rest of it?
Direct them to the library, because it's specifically for children who are not staying at school and who haven't got any college spaces, so are just the kind of limbo kids, if you like, that haven't really got anywhere to go, no jobs, and they're helping them get apprenticeships. So that's a really good scheme. Just some information, really, in terms of rural engagement. The rural engagement team is working closely with two Essex companies to help drive the reduction of crime in our rural communities. The officers are attending agricultural shows in their shiny new tractor that they've had signed up. So just really to it's there to encourage people to report crime and antisocial behaviour within the rural community. Getting the farmers on board.
I like to hope that Essex Police have leased that machine, not purchased.
Yeah, it's been led to them, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Neighbourhood Policing Week, this year's Neighbourhood Policing Week, so officers take part in more than 90 events. I'd like to say that Burnham was one of those now. Our community policing officers and PCOs have met with a wide range of community groups, primary schools, and retirement home residents, and kind of everyone in between. So they're really starting to make a presence back pre-COVID or post-COVID into the towns and the communities and reaching out to residents. The 23-24 budget proposals have been revealed by Essex County Council. All the information is signposted on our website. Please feel free to take a look and immerse yourself in the information provided by Essex County Council. And then finally, just to end on a light note, there's a push at the moment to ask our residents how well do we know the highway code changes. I'll post it on our website, but there's a little YouTube video that you can take and watch to make sure that you are aware of the changes to the highway code that have been in for a year now. Most of those are around cyclists, vulnerable road users and horse riders. So please familiarise yourself in this rural area with those changes.
Right, thank you.
Well done.
It's nice to know that we are actually moving forward and trying to make life better for the people of Burnham. Thank you. Coordinator's report. We don't have a general purposes coordinator, but are there any issues that would normally be referred to the general purposes coordinator?
At present, none.
Thank you. Highways, Councillor Rawlinson.
I thought very long and very hard about this.
and with immediate effect, I am standing down as the highways coordinator.
Okay.
I think there's bigger issues that need to be addressed, and I don't have the time at the moment to dedicate to the highways. And I think it would be wrong of me to keep it going.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for the work you've done so far. Perhaps out of the meeting we can discuss what can be done. Thank you. Environment, Councillor.
You don't have one.
Councillor Donnelly.
No? It isn't on my environment right now.
Right, thank you. Health and wellbeing, we don't have any representatives anymore. District Councillor's report. Can you do that from the floor, Mrs. Stamp?
It's
Councillor Stamp when we're talking to you now.
Yes, thank you very much. The District Council is sitting tomorrow at Morden District, and we hope to set the budget. We'll see exactly how that goes. I'm sure it was going to be put on the agenda, but just so you all know, PERD starts on the 13th of March. I'm sure the Town Clerk, our Chief Officer, will actually make sure that you adhere to that. It's very serious further when it starts. Mm-hmm. I think training's been done. District Council elections are obviously 4th of May. So obviously you're going to stand, if you want to stand as Town or District Councillors, obviously you'll come through here, and if you've got any problems, go to Claire, what's the surname? Hawks somebody at District? Hopefully the council will start to put some posters up to encourage people to stand. Mm-hmm. I've tried to ask the district council to actually formulate a poster and get the information out as quickly as possible. If you look at district council's website, there's a heck of a lot of information out there for town and district councillors. Okay, so please do it, because I'll tell you, take it from me, the town, the time flies when you're actually leaving, and deadline dates, they don't wait for you, so if you want to stand, make sure you get everything sorted. Other district council things, I can't think of anything. The corporate plan's on the agenda for tomorrow. There's a large number of motions because there are some issues at the council. But other than that, I think they're getting on with it.
Are there any planning issues that you wish to report?
No, I can't really say too much, Mr. Mayor, at the moment, because I have to be careful of possible predetermination if I voice any concerns.
Right, thank you. Item 8, would you wish to present a County Council representative report?
I'd like to actually say, as the Essex County Councillor, that I've raised it with the Town Clerk, our Chief Officer, That shouldn't be on there. This council passed a resolution in May 2021 that no Essex County Council report had to be submitted. If you want to put it back on, then obviously it will come at the next agenda meeting. But to be in all fairness, I send things all the way through the month to the Town Clerk. Mm-hmm. And a majority of what's on a town report is everything I've sent. So I think it's entirely up to you. I don't submit a report to any council, because I submit everything throughout the month and give you as much information as updates as I can. That goes on your website or goes on your town clerk's report. So
thank you. I think we inherited that heading from previous reports.
No, it just disappeared.
Do we pass a resolution now?
No.
I don't think it's appropriate. Right, a review of Town Council policies. To discuss and pass a resolution where necessary to enable a review of Council policies to meet with any changes to current legislation.
I would like to bring to the Council a proposal that we set up a working group to have a look and review all our policies. What policies we've got, what policies we haven't got, what policies we should have. ELCA says that, which is the Essex Association of Local Councils, they say your council should have policies, and these should include the date adopted and the date they are due to be reviewed. We have 3 policies on the website that have dates. I've checked it. No, I'm just saying, I've checked it. I've been through and I've checked it. I pulled each policy off. The financial regulations have an adoption date of the 25th of September 2019. The same date goes on to the standing orders. The internet banking, there seems to be two versions. One is dated September 2019. And one is dated the 3rd of September 2019. So I'm assuming it's the 3rd of September is the actual one that was adopted, not the one that was dated in September. But I've looked at the policies and I cannot find dates on any of the others.
So who would you like on the working party with you?
Down to the council to decide who they want to put on it.
I like policies on step
forward. But I would say...
It says when they were adopted.
What policy is that?
Internet banking policy.
Yeah, and what date does it give?
Can we just...
3rd of September.
Okay, so I think you'll find on there I did say there was three policies and I didn't name the 3rd of September.
Yeah, I think that's true. No, just moving forward, you would like to be on the working party, Councillor Donnelly?
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Would that be appropriate to include the town clerk?
I think it would be sensible to include the town clerk because... at the end of the day, she's supposed to be notified, the town clerk is, or the chief officer is supposed to be notified of any dates and updates which should then come to council. So if we're reviewing it, it would be handy to know what we've got.
I think the EALC
actually updated their model standing orders in April of 22, which,
so this is
to my knowledge, we've not updated ours in that period of time.
This is quite a task, isn't it?
It is a big task.
So,
and the thing is that you start looking at it. I mean, although we are governed by the Local Government Act of 1972, you've also got the Audit Commission Act of 1998, the VAT Act of 1994, the Bribery Act of 2010, the Public Contracts Regulations of 2015, the Fraud Act of 2006, the Equality Act of 2010, the Data Protection Act of 2018, Health and Safety at Work Act 1974. Although it does say with that one, if you've got staff of less than five, you don't need to, but then the Health and Safety at Work Act 1974 is such a big umbrella, there's loads of stuff that goes underneath it. And you've got the Employment Rights Act of 1996, the Limitations Act of 1980.
Councillor, you could be here for weeks.
can I ask, would you be in a position to bring back to the next council meeting a report, not necessarily a finalised revision, a report on progress and what you, should you need any further resources?
I think we could be within that time we'd be able to sort of say, right, well, this is a bigger task than we thought.
I think if we can create a programme or a timeline of policies that we should be red, amber, green, and if you like, traffic light policies, where we can say, you know, these policies in red are the ones that we need to bring to the table in the forefront, and the rest that we can schedule through the course, whether we can do that by May, so that we have a whole suite of policies that we can bring into council and to the new electorate, that would be an ideal situation, I think. So. Working hard in the working group to achieve that for May.
But the output we would expect for the next meeting is a progress report of the scope of the process and how far we can achieve it. Are council happy to adopt that?
If it's achievable.
If it's achieved, it may or may not.
That's my proposal.
Right, and Councillor Rawlinson's proposal, which I second.
Agreed.
Thank you. Accounts and transfers of funds. To approve and sign the monthly reconciliation of accounts from April 2022 to January 2023.
Yes, it's been a long time coming. As you well know, as the new chief officer on board, which takes on the role of the RFO, I've been working quite hard to get this year's budget data to a point of acceptance, if you like, in terms of the overall reconciliations and the transfers of funds to the council. So I do have the reconciliations available for everybody.
That was a 30-page document, if I understand it right.
Yes, so this is the reconciliations as of the 30th of April, which shows all the individual reconciliations and what our bank states are. What I do have, to back that up, Mr. Mayor, is all the invoices and the allocated payments in relation to those, and then also broken down into a spreadsheet. What's required, Mr. Mayor, is that we review those, and then each of those spreadsheets for the month are signed by yourself and by a councillor as verification that we have looked at, reviewed and accepted these reconciliations today.
Well, I've actually printed them out and looked at them, and I feel slightly dubious about signing them at the moment. Okay. Perhaps we can take that offline. Are councillors happy for me to take that offline and just go through them?
If there's any glaring
and then report back at the next council meeting.
Yeah, it's to be brought back at the next council meeting.
Right, thank you.
Sorry, I'm going to have to jump in. You need two. Follow your own policies, you need two. So the Deputy Mayor and you need to go through
That's right, we're taking it offline and we're going to discuss the requirements.
Yeah. Doesn't say Deputy Mayor.
It doesn't have to be Deputy Mayor. Let's not.
Transfer of funds for February 2023 to meet the Town Council's financial requirements.
Yep, invoices presented for payment for February 2023. You'll see that you've got there. It's the usual invoices for payment in terms of going through. There are some that I'd like to just point out to Council. The 2nd of February there was an additional back payment of salary made to the temporary town clerk in relation to the pay increase that was agreed and backdated to April of this year. That salary payment was paid in gross to the temporary town clerk, and we are in the process of obtaining the shortfall back from the temporary town clerk. A letter has been sent and a reminder has also been sent as well. That will, if that's not clear, that will appear as a debtor on the February bank reconciliations.
Okay, thank you.
As we go through, there is an underpayment of non-domestic rates of 90 pence, which is frustrating, which that was back from, I think, June of last year. The rates were paid a mistake of 90 pence, so that's the reason why we've got a 90 pence payment to the District Council on there. That brings us up to date with our rates and not in the dock. As we go through, you'll see that there is some payment to Essex Pensions. I'd just like to note that this is a surcharge payment to Essex Pensions that haven't been paid since September 2022, and that's the surcharge of the member of staff that is no longer with us, and we weren't paying the surcharge payment of £18.83 a month, and therefore I have reconciled with Essex Pensions. And we need to pay £109.98 to them. Underneath that, you'll see the pensions regulator. At this point, owing to the fact that we haven't paid our pension contributions, we are looking at a contribution penalty of £400. It's on there as showing what I have been advised, that once we make the payment of the surcharge, I can then appeal that £400 contribution penalty. So that's what, hopefully, that will come off.
Can I ask when that dates back to?
September 2022. There are additional items for the bench repairs, which have now been completed. The invoice came in and was added as a payment to be made. Also, additional payment of office equipment, which includes for the webcams and speakers that weren't included in the original upgrade. Of the computer equipment in the office. Avelio Greater Anglia is our station house assurance for March to June, and then the salary payments.
So the extra items are bench repairs, office equipment and station house insurance?
Yeah.
Which I don't think are contentious. I would suggest that we do not pay the unpaid pension contribution until we know further. As it's likely we won't be paying it. Do councillors approve the payment? Sorry, Councillor Coles, you look
You say the what the penalty charge?
The penalty charge.
I think it's best to pay it and then.
I'd pay it. Pay it and then claim it back.
It's an appeal. I have already listed the appeal.
You don't break the dog when it comes to pension and HMRC. Just pay it. Appeal it. If you get it back, you get it back. If you don't, that's how it is.
We can appeal against it.
Yeah, but as I say,
you
must.
So the decision is that we will pay the penalty charge.
Personally, I think you've got the choice.
Okay, that's fine. But it does date back quite a while.
Yes.
Right. Is council happy to approve this list of payments?
I think so.
Right. Resolved. Thank you. Receive and agree the comparison of actual to budgeted payments.
Yes. Again, Mr. Mayor, this has been a lengthy process in understanding the, or producing, if you like, the accounts to date against the budgeted spend. Council can see the attachment here. What I have done now is I have looked at producing the spend to date as opposed to bringing it in as a spend to date with one figure. I've actually broken it down to the months. The reason I've done that and going forward is so that we can start to see the spikes in terms of where we are with our payments going forward, and we can marry that against the budget for next year and start to look back and see where, in which months we're spending our money and where we're coming through, what are the increases in pay, the increases in power, light and heat.
Is this net or gross?
This is gross.
It's gross?
Yes.
Do councillors have any questions?
We can go through line by line if you want to. Generally speaking, there are a number of lines. There's too many, and I would like to look to reduce these numbers budget codes. Well, yeah, redefining the categories I think is important for next year. It's very complicated when you're allocating one payment per year to a line item, and that's the only time that line item is ever being used, when we could condense it down really and have a administration budget with minimal breakdowns, so that it's easier for us to view, easier for us to understand and read.
But under that, you would have subsections which, if we drill down, we could see what spending was on, is that?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So we're actually not losing information, we're just simply presenting it in a top line in a more accessible fashion.
Yes, that's correct. And also with these broken down by months, it gives us the opportunity to see where we're spending the money, where we've got the spike. So for example, when the rates do come in, we can see that's what we're doing. When we look at sort of grants and donations, is there a trend? The idea is to start to bring a trend analysis into the budget, so that we can start to review our budgets year on year and see where we're going in terms of the spend.
So what are you proposing to bring back? Are you proposing to bring back a better breakdown of headings?
This is the breakdown as the budget is this year. I can't change that.
No. But are you suggesting that you bring something back for starting next financial year?
For next financial year, yes.
Are members happy with that?
Yeah.
No. Then we look forward to seeing your suggestion. Banking mandates and authorised signatures.
As an update, the banking mandates have now been changed. Again, there were some previous councillors who hadn't fully been removed from the banking mandates up until recently. So I've done a complete sweep of the banking system and removed any councillors or any members of staff that were potentially available within that. Councillor Rawlinson has been added as a signatory on the Unity Bank Trust and also Barclays. Oh, we're going back quite some time.
No, no, I mean, who are our signatories now for the accounts?
Well, this is another proposal, but I actually need to, while we're talking about the bank mandates, is our standing order, our regulations state we should have four. And at the moment, we've now got two. So my proposal would be that we actually ask Council Donnelly to go on as a signature at the moment, and then we'll work on a fourth.
I think the point is, if I'm run over by a bus, we can't pay council bills. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. It would seem previously that the previous town clerk was also an authoriser, which potentially may have resolved that issue at the time. So that's what the situation was. The previous town clerk was an authoriser.
I think that I think you've checked that with Unity Bank.
I've
confirmed that.
So we're all safe and secure. And
we are safe and secure. And no chief officer or town clerk is an authoriser any longer.
Cool.
The only other thing on this about the bank account is, and getting the mandate sorted out, is if anything was to happen to Nicola, we've got nobody to put anything on the system. So in the event that Nicola was taken ill or anything like that, we wouldn't be able to pay staff. So my other proposal would be that we look at putting Cassie on as somebody that can add transactions. She can't sign, she can't...
She can enter transactions.
She can only literally... At the moment, the only person that can do that is the chief officer.
So, am I right in thinking we have two resolutions? The first resolution is that Councillor Donnelly becomes a signatory on Unity Bank and Barclays, and the second is that Cassie becomes an administrator or whatever
internet
it is on the internet administrator. Right. So, are those your first two proposals? And I will second both those proposals. Can we vote on the first of adding Councillor Donnelly? Carried, no, gone. And secondly, on adding Cassie as an internet administrator on the back.
Just quickly, has she had any official training or anything to do with the financial side? Or
She has had EALC training on council finance, yes. She does have a certificate.
But then again, don't forget, she won't be putting anything on for payment unless we've approved it.
So if it sits there, you can put anything you like on now, but until you've had your two authorised signatures, then it ain't going nowhere.
It's not something that's going to be a day-to-day thing. That's my responsibility as chief officer. It's more a case of
it's a safety net.
It should occur.
So did we vote on?
We voted for Councillor Donnelly.
Can we vote on adding Cassie as an internet administrator? All those in favour? Thank you. Item 11, financial pre-audit, to receive an update from the Deputy Mayor.
We, having had several discussions where documents were going backwards and forwards because they weren't being done right or they weren't given the right information, etc., within council meetings, I asked at the meeting if we could have a get the auditor in to come in and say yes, you're on the right lines, or no, you're not, as in terms of how we were laying it out and the information we were providing. So that meeting was agreed and it took place. I'm quite happy to say that with the spreadsheets that were provided, with three elements that we need to provide for the AGAR and for getting our audit done, his actual words were clearly being done, unquote. So at the moment, it looks like we are actually doing what we should be doing on that front. One of the few things, but it is one of the things we are doing.
So we have a clean bill of health on
that? We have a clean bill of health on that. However, I would like to propose again that we go for a full midterm audit.
I assume you'll have to get a cost for that, or unless you put the cost.
I'm happy to get a cost for that.
And bring that back to council so we can agree.
So at the next meeting we will have a cost for a mid-term
audit. Discuss and agree.
Yeah.
Just that is to ensure that we are on the right lines and to point out. Can I just ask, is that... No, that's fine. So we will resolve that Councillor Rawlinson can...
Will that be marked being that the entire before the tax year, or does that come into it, whether it's a tax year or not?
We should have one. I think it's in October. This is the deadline date for an audit. I can't remember. I've read it in the financial register. I can't for top of my head. I can't.
You know, I didn't know if it was a tax year or.
Yeah,
but
our financial year end is end of March. And then we've got till June to submit the documentation to the internal auditor.
Oh, okay. I think it'd be good practice, but obviously, yeah, bring it back to council with the costings and.
Can you get a costing for that, please?
I have
it's the end of year. I'm going. It's the end of year. You're mad. You're wasting taxpayers' money.
As I understand it, though, the idea is to make sure that we are on target. That we're not likely to find any future problems. And with the number of queries that have been raised in the past by a certain ex-councillor, we are anxious to prove that we are compliant, that our systems and processes are working well, and that we are happy to go forward as we are.
Yeah.
So that we have no unpleasant surprises later.
I don't think it's bad practice. Obviously, it's going to come back at thousands, and fair enough, you know.
It won't come back at thousands. I reckon, judging from what he said, at the time, you're looking, please don't know what it is, but you're looking at hundreds, not thousands.
In that case, if that's a proposal from Councillor Rawlinson...
Well, no, I mean, we'll get a private quote and we'll try
so,
and price.
So the proposal is that Councillor Rawlinson gets a quote from mid-term pre-order.
I think in, if I can, Mr Mayor, I think in the event that since potentially October last year, we've had a temporary town clerk in place, and there's been quite a long period of time where accounts and bits and pieces have, whilst we have been carrying out the duties as we should as a council, myself as chief officer now going forward, it will be good to ascertain and understand that what we have got and give us a programme for what we can do to improve. The main objective here is improve. That's the main objective. Is for me as a chief officer and for anybody else that's coming in, particularly in mind that we've got potentially a whole new suite of councillors coming in May. We need to be in a position where we've got the full suite of documents, where we've got a rubber stamp that says, yes, Burnham Town Council are transparent, we're adhering to our policies, we're in line with regulation.
You know you're on the right track. This is how to move forward, and obviously where you're still learning.
Things happen. Situations change. And COVID came along, that wasn't anybody's fault. But it's caused problems. It has caused problems, and whether people like it or not, the reason I made the proposal to get a second person on as an admin is we didn't have that. So
I think the proposals you've made, Councillor Rawlinson, are eminently sensible.
I'm trying to do, and this isn't all about me. This isn't a one man band. As a council. If I'm here in May, great, and if I'm not, so be it. But as a council, we have a duty to the public and the voters of Burnham to try and do the right thing. And, you know.
I think anything we can do to prove that we're compliant, that we're doing our best, that we're sticking with our proper systems. You've heard comments from the floor tonight that there are issues. I don't believe there are issues, but moving this way forward would prove that we are actually compliant with regulations and that we are doing our best for the people of Burnham. So I'm happy to second Councillor Rawlinson's proposal. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Are you abstaining, Councillor Calver?
No.
Oh, right, thank you. So it was an MCOM. Right, diary dates. To discuss and amend dates where required.
Upcoming dates for the calendar are the 24th of February. We've got the Burnham Civic Awards. I don't know if you know about the Burnham Civic Awards. So every year we do an award ceremony. We use Ormiston Rivers Academy School, and we present awards to residents from Burnham. for the Lifetime Achievement, the Youth Award, SEND work, pretty much anything that anybody does in the town of recognition. So that takes place on the 24th of February at Ormiston Rivers. We'll be publicising those award winners after the event. It'll be on the website. Hoping we'll have some press and some coverage there so that everybody can get to see who's doing it in Burnham this year. The Mayor will present the awards. We've got 10 awards, I think. Mr. Mayor, are we?
Yeah, we have 10 awards.
The next event is a civic reception and civic dinner, which is a bit more of a black tie affair, where we look to bring everybody, mayors, chairmen from the whole of the Benji area, Ashendon, Tillingham and Maldon, to come together and have a civic service, if you like, and a dinner, and everybody comes together and takes that on board. It's my first one, so I'm intrigued to attend and see how that goes. Dates for next meeting to be agreed. Going forward, there isn't any other event dates at this time.
No, that's fine, thank you. Grants and donations. Have we had any applications for grants and donations? No, thank you. Street Traders Market Day. Current setup of the market, numbers of stall orders. Discuss the proposal of a street seller and pass any resolution where necessary.
Yeah, I had an interesting request from somebody who wants to sell on the street of Burnham, not on Market Day. According to Morgan District Council, there is no licence requirement for a street seller. You can just come and sell.
Yeah, there's no hawker's licence for MDC.
No, there's no hawker's licence. So I think...
conservation area?
That comes under the conservation office. It depends if it's a permanent pitch. They will require planning permission, possibly.
Yeah, this is just they set up Selma Wares and offer that. To be fair to the individual, they are coming to the council and asking for us to support them. They haven't just rocked up Thursday afternoon and started, selling shoe polish.
I mean, it depends what they're selling.
Mm.
Yes, exactly. So
I think that does come into it quite a lot.
I did invite them to come to the meeting and give us a 5-minute presentation about what they would like to do and where.
I think it's theoretically then, if there's no requirement for a hawker's licence,
well,
they can just rock up and do it.
That not necessarily, because the land...
Councillor Donnelly.
My concern is if we support it, we don't know what they're doing, we don't know if they're knocking up soap in their own kitchen or if they're actually buying in standard things. People have no repercussion of the street trader, they just don't turn up. If somebody has an actual shop, or even the market, where the market holder has all their details, if you've got a problem, you can still go through trading standards, you have a right to repercussion. Whilst I'm not overly against the trader, I'd be uncomfortable as a councillor supporting it and endorsing it because...
Councillor Coles.
Also, it would also go under Essex County Council agreement because obviously the footpaths and everything belong to Essex County Council. And therefore would, because it'd be... It's a tough one, but it would, I assume, require planning permission because it's a bit permanent fixture, not a mobile vehicle or anything.
So are we saying that...
I don't know if it's a permanent
fixture. No, I mean a structure being erected on public land.
Are we saying we would like to know more, but that in fact we can't stop it, but we would not support it?
I would think the best place would be to go back to them and say, well, whereas we're not necessarily
against
it, it's not down to us, it is down to... MDC, ECC, unfortunately, it's another one of these ones where we're
consultative
and powerless, to be honest.
Can you convey that message to the street trader concern that the council is not responsible?
Curious.
We'd like to know for interest what is happening, but we cannot support it, whereas we cannot actually stop it, and it's not up to us to take anything further.
I don't know if you should say. Doesn't support it.
I think it's an innovation. Somebody is obviously in the process of trying to generate some money, income, whatever.
Yeah, I encourage anyone to give it a go.
Yeah.
Come from business, but it's I wouldn't say don't support it.
Well, I think Councillor Donnelly has a very good point that we cannot endorse something which might be slightly dangerous.
But then we don't want to eat it.
No.
If they're not selling food, then I think it lays, you know, if they're coming selling food, I think that's a completely different issue, isn't it?
Even if they made a bath product, one of my children's got a serious medical condition, I've got to avoid certain chemical smells. But if they're making any sort of product, I don't know that they've listed in it, if they're using labels that they've printed off already and they've got a substitute.
That one's completely approved. Yeah.
When you have a business, if you do something like, you're less likely to because you know you've got a fixed base and you know people can come back to you. But if I bring Trading Standards and all this random bloke, I bought this product off on Burnham High Street, supported by the Town Council, you know, do we know they've got insurance? Do we know they've got public liability?
It's very early stages, and I think these are the questions that we need to ask.
I feel we're unable to, I certainly wouldn't vote.
So, to summarise, we would like to know more, but we could not, and under any circumstances, actually endorse or support the product.
Right,
moving on to the community fridge, an update from the chief officer.
Just a quick update. Unfortunately, we weren't successful in securing the funding from Essex County Council on the community fridge.
Did we have a communication from Essex County Council stating why we were unsuccessful?
I haven't had the full communication.
But we believe we submitted our application in time.
Our application was submitted in time.
So we just didn't get it.
Can I maybe suggest that we write to Essex County Council and ask why, for future reference, should the opportunity arise again, we know what we've got to do.
So where are we on the community fridge? We've got no... There is no location being offered.
At the moment, there's no location being offered. We did previously agree we would earmark some funds for it under the health and wellbeing budget. But at this moment in time, we know which fridge we want to go for. We know, but we don't have anywhere to put it. A community fridge is there's projects that's happening across different parishes and different councils where we provide or a fridge is provided and then the local businesses, local communities put food in it, and then those people who are maybe suffering from a meal on one particular evening, for whatever reason, they can come and they can take some items from the fridge and they have a meal for the evening. We were looking at having it in the Reformed Church, I believe, at first.
The URC,
but they are unable to accept that now, so we're trying to find another location for it. But it's really working with Co-op, Tesco's, One Stop, and the local businesses.
Councillor Donnelly.
End of day.
With the office of more hours now that we've got, sort of the ladies in there more hours, could we not cite it here and maybe look at getting volunteers in on a Saturday to man it as well?
I'd be slightly concerned about having it here. The URC is... Sorry, Councillor Calvin.
Can I make a suggestion that you're trying to set up a good relationship with the library, and that's already a warm hub?
Unfortunately, the library's not open often enough, and the times, that's all. It does need to be somewhere that's open every day, because the library's only open 3 days a week, and not at weekends. Which is when I think people would need it most. Mm-hmm. But I did discuss that with them on the call, but I don't think they'd be able to support it in terms of just the times that they're open, whether that would suit.
But as I understand it, the churches together are still in discussion with the URC as to whether they can use the URC as a food bank hub. Mm-hmm. And if that comes off, that would make much more sense. So I think we should just wait.
I think we keep our ear to the ground. I think I'll do some communications and continue on. We'll try and find a suitable place for it.
I was almost tempted to say five ways, but... Did you get that from the fridge or from the display? Yes.
The problem with it somewhere as public as that is there is going to be people going hungry because they're not wanting to be seen to be taking it. You know, the beauty of the council offices is pop in here if you're green sacks, you pop in here if you're pink sacks. I was in here doing some training today. There was constant stream of people in and out for various things. It wouldn't look unusual to just pop in and help myself to some food out of the fridge, whereas I'd be quite self-conscious going up to five ways in front of all of Burnham to get some food because I can't afford to feed my children. So I do think it needs to be cited tactfully.
I don't think it's a bad option. Personally, but I think let's collect some more options and then have a
look. Let's see what the discussions of churches together on the food bank produce, because that is obviously You know, if they're going to use it as a food bank, it would, and I think we do need a food bank distribution centre in Burnham.
I personally am very much in favour. I was quite surprised, but it was local residents not wanting to use the Burnham Bank because they didn't want to be seen. It's my understanding of why it moved in the first place.
Right, well, I do know it's run from Southminster at the moment. Anyway, that's that. Coronation, to receive an update from the Chief Officer.
Update is really just to update you in terms of what potentially others are doing. We've had a notice down from Morden that they are looking to do picnics in the park. They're trying to get everybody into the prom, if you like, effectively, to watch the coronation and make it a larger affair as opposed to there being individual parties. So,
am I right in thinking they're trying to get a really big screen?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're trying to get a big screen and have essentially family picnic day to do the coronation. So I think it brings everyone together as opposed to it being little pockets of things
that's
going on.
Morden. Yeah.
That's in Morden, but what they've done is they're saying if there's potential for us to get funding and look at it for our budget now, if we want to look at doing something that is community based. I'd get some more information on the funding available.
Councillor Donnelly and then Councillor Scott.
I like the idea and I'm happy to put myself forward if we're forming a working party to help Nicola put something together.
I think one of the problems we've got is the fact that, not that we don't have the cash, because we've allocated some money for the coalition, but it's simply resource. It's one of the things we found with the previous Jubilee was that we didn't actually have the ability to organise and get things done.
I was going to say that, I won't be standing in the elections, so I won't be here when this happens, but the way you could look at it, because of what happened in the coronation, where yes, you can have the field, but if you have vendors then you have to pay for the field, it got very complicated, that's why it was a bit naff. But it wasn't through want of trying. However, if NDC are willing to, or even ourselves, put funding towards having a big screen in the park, therefore, it would just be a free public event where you maybe need security just to protect the screen in case anything happened, in case.
Are you in contact with somebody, possibly, for a big screen that's done it up there before? So it's not as if it's a person who's not.
So
it would therefore be a free public open event. It'd just be the screen is there and whoever chooses to attend would therefore, it'd be a public park.
So,
bring your own food.
To summarise, we are asking if there's any money coming from Morden.
Yeah.
If there's any money coming from Morden, we will see if it covers a big screen in the park.
I mean, we've got it in the budget, so we can do it if it comes out of reserves. I mean, if you fight it with Morden and also thinking of using it for their screen, because
that's
if you're going to book
problem.
It, you need to book it now.
I'd also like to point out that the church is actually having a picnic and a celebration on the Monday. And that day is designated by the government as a volunteers' day. So as well as food stalls, as well as music and entertainment, there will be stalls such as the RNLI, the volunteers, it's a sort of come and meet the volunteer organisations, and if you wish you can join them and sign up, which is what the central government just dictated. Is that we should do.
Yeah.
So there will be certainly something happening.
I think if I mean, obviously, by all means, but I think if the council is planning something, the King said himself, obviously, because of the financial situation across the country, I mean, across the world, really, that he wanted it to keep it low-key, affordable. I think the best thing you could do is put a big screen in the park, people can take as much or as little as they like, enjoy being, you know, as a nation together, and go from there.
And we will plug it into the right outlet.
It all comes supplied to lorry, the whole lot.
The last issue, there were confusions about the electricity supply.
I'm sure Councillor Donnelly and I are more than capable of working that one out.
I'm sure you are.
Okay. Also, I'd just like to point out that it has been clarified that there was some discussion around whether or not we could do anything for the King's coronation due to Perda, but I have had it confirmed today that it's fine for us to celebrate the King's coronation during Perda.
Yeah, I was on that training. Anything we've started before Purdah starts, we can continue with quite happily. And the King's Coronation was a repeated conversation because obviously a lot of us councillors would be out our promoting it on the run up to the event, and they said it's absolutely no problem for the coronation itself.
But the actual.
The promotion.
It was around the promotion that it was a bit of a sticky wicket because could you be seen to be promoting during Purdah? But actually, well, because he's a king, they've made an exception, I'm sure.
In regards to the park, unless the officers have changed, you need to speak to Steve Butcher, Farley Norman, and.
I believe.
My mind's gone blank.
I believe Farley may not be.
Farley's gone, is he?
I don't know if he's gone, but I'm not 100% certain he's involved.
Sean Young.
Yeah, Sean Young. Sean would have been my first call.
Yeah,
call, I think.
Steve Butcher is also Parks, I believe.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Moving on, community engagement team.
Yeah, I think I covered it in my town clerk's report. I have seen much more engagement from the community engagement team. We've implemented the signing sheet for them now, and I've actually, since I put it out there, I'm now due to put another page on, because they are coming in, they are signing in, they are talking to me, they are discussing things. We are pointing out where they need to go and what they need to do, and they were very present here today as well, so it was good to see.
Good.
So I think the kick up the backside in terms of what we wanted to see.
Value for money.
Yeah, value for money, absolutely, exactly. And that's it really for me.
Right, thank you. Dates of next meeting. Planning is next Tuesday, 28th of February, and the full council is the 14th of March.
Yeah.
Which I think brings us on to item 19, exclusions of the public and press. Council is to resolve that by virtue of the provisions of section 1 brackets 2 closed brackets of the Public Bodies brackets Admission to Meetings Act 1960, the public be excluded during discussion of the following business on the grounds that publicity would be prejudicial to the public interest by reason of the confidential nature of the business transacted. Do I have a proposal?
Aye.
Carried. In that case, thank you very much for attending. We're now going to confidential session.
It's a good point that I don't get to hear about the allotment.
There will be an allotment agenda item next month. This is under private confidential business at this point, but there will be an agenda item for the allotment coming on next month.
We're discussing confidential items to do with the allotments, and we're hoping to have a resolution, but we're hoping to discuss things in public in the future. And at this point, I'm going to stop the recording.